Welcome to the Jazz Shapers podcast from Mishkon Dorea. What you're about to hear was originally broadcast on Jazz FM. However, the music has been cut due to rights issues.
This is Jazz Shapers with Elliot Moss on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkon Dorea. It's business, but it's personal. Listening colour.
Welcome to Jazz Shapers with me, Elliot Moss, bringing the shapers of the business world together with the musicians shaping jazz, soul and blues. My guests today are Ed Curry and Andy Cox, and I've got two for the price of one. They are the co-founders of ACT London, the natural deodorant brand. Having met while performing in Beautiful, the Carole King musical in the West End, I'd like to have been there. Ed and Andy shared a frustration with mainstream deodorants that couldn't keep up with their lifestyles, performing 8 shows a week under hot lights in the same costumes. Just imagine that for a moment. Believing there must be a way to create a harder working and natural deodorant, they began 3 years of experimenting, combining ingredients on the hob in their tiny Camden kitchen. Sharing what they believe was a working formula with over 1,000 West End performers, we're going to find out how they did that, led to a hugely successful Kickstarter campaign. And despite a cease and desist letter and a venture capital round that almost destroyed the business, Ed and Andy were buoyed by the support and financial input of a fast-growing community. ACT London now have 5 fragrances and a fragrance-free sensitive skin deodorant balm, all natural, plastic-free and without a gender focus. And having launched in the US last year, they've got goals for further international expansion. Ed Curry, Andy Coxon, they're my business shapers. They're the founders of ACT, not just a deodorant company. Is that right, Andy? Hello.
Hello.
We'll
hello,
start
hello.
With you.
Hello.
I've got these two fine specimens in front of me.
I
have to start somewhere. So don't worry. Don't worry. Ed. It's going to come
quietly.
You'll
sit background.
For about 5 seconds. Yeah. He's already going.
Don't speak.
Andy and Ed, it's great to have you both here. Tell me a little bit about the problem. As I outlined, the problem of smelling bad and sweating buckets and why you bothered to fix it, because you weren't the first performers to encounter smelling awful.
I mean, it's a constant issue. Doing 8 shows a week, you wear the same costumes, you're under the hot lights. These clothes are specialty clothes that can't be washed nightly. So these smells and stains get ingrained. And as you heat them up when dancing, the smells are even worse. And I'm going to let Ed take this one, because when you were in a chorus line at the Palladium, your co-star turned to you and said...
Well, I can't swear on the radio, but you flipping stink, Ed. It was so embarrassing. Like, I mean, it was a big dance show at the Palladium, and this was back in 2013. And for some reason, everybody else's costume in that show was a leotard, but mine was a lovely woolen jumper. And so it just got really ingrained over the course of the run. And yeah, she turned to me and said, I stink. And I was like, yeah, I do. And yeah. I don't know what to do about it. Because I tried everything, and I was spraying the jumper with alcohol every day to try and kill the smells, and nothing was working. And then we met in Beautiful, the Carole King musical, at the Old Witch back in 2015. That's when that run was. And again, just the same issues. And I knew that I wasn't alone in that as well. Everybody else in the company smells as well. It's very difficult. And just nothing in the market seemed to work. So...
But why did you bother both of you? I mean, you're happily performing there. You're at the height of your burgeoning careers and you go, yeah, let's go and make a deodorant. I mean, it doesn't exactly fit with the image I have of performers.
This was not the plan.
No.
What we've created was never the plan. It still isn't the plan. We're just going with this success. It's been phenomenal.
Just following it.
We accidentally created something that really worked. We were living together at the time. You'd found this basic recipe online of a few ingredients, threw it together, tried it, you got boils and rashes, I tried it, I got a rash, but we didn't smell. So we're like, ooh, it's piqued an interest. And it just became this sort of hobby outside of shows, and you'd do it on the side. The kitchen almost became a meth lab of breaking bad powders everywhere and different waxes, powders, oils, and trying different formulas on friends, on family, on cast members, just to go, oh, just try that. What do you think?
And did you poison anybody? Not that you know of. No.
We can't say that.
It's okay. We put money in paper bags and everybody's absolutely happy and they're keeping quiet.
I mean, we were the real test. We actually say, you know, tested on dancers, not
animals.
Which is true.
And it's true. And we did that over 3 years. So it wasn't an immediate thing creating this formula.
But may I say, it's kind of a weird hobby. I mean, I'm not suggesting for a minute.
Hobby's a strong word. It wasn't a hobby. It just became a thing.
I mean, other people, you know, they play silly games on their phones, or they go drinking, or they, you know, they sew and they do those lovely. What are those things called? Those people that
crochet.
That's the one. Yeah. Crochet. But there you are, making deodorant.
Yeah.
But that's obviously because it was genuinely. It had to be fixed for you. There was not. Once you started, were you then in?
Yeah. I mean, I was so frustrated that I was throwing away T-shirts every other week. Yeah. And I know that a lot of people have this experience when you use an antiperspirant. You get those like claggy yellow stains in the T-shirts and they just
throw
don't
away.
Wash out.
Never comes out.
Yeah. And it was just becoming a real pain in the bum for me. So I just started making it in the kitchen. And it just became fun and researching ingredients, researching how formulations are made. And just giving it a go. It's like a toddler in your mum's bathroom cabinet and you just take everything out and put it all in the sink.
Stay with me with my lovely two grown-up toddlers. Now, not two grown-up, still very young men. I'm with Ed Curry and Andy Coxon, and they're the people behind the Axe deodorant brand, if you're listening earlier. And of course you were. They were mucking around in the kitchen and things got a bit more serious and you managed to crack the code. At what point did you know, there was a moment that you went, hold on a minute, we've got this working, it's efficacious, the consistency is right, because I imagine texture is quite important, because it's got to be bottled. At what point did you know that was happening?
It's when friends started asking to buy pots off us, and just said, oh, and we said, yeah, we'll make some, you know, £10 a pot, and we're just filling little tins, and I think we were making about £200 a month just from friends going, that's really good, can you make some more please? And we go, yeah, of course you can, we're poor actors. So we do batches on the hob in a big vat, a big bain-marie, and we've still got the original pan, doing batches of these circular tins with screw lids on. You pour it in, put it in the fridge to solidify, and then it ramped up to people really wanting it.
And I kind of fell out of love with performing and decided I wasn't going to do it anymore.
Why, Ed?
I just found the industry quite difficult. I didn't like the rise and fall of it. Like, you're in work, you're out of work. I didn't enjoy kind of being at the bottom of the hierarchy.
The politics.
And the politics of it. I went into performing because I'm creative and I love it. And actually, I think being a performer, you're not given much creativity, especially if you step into a show that already exists.
Yeah, the choreographer says you do that, please.
Yeah.
And you do it.
Yeah. And a chorus line for me was that show, because you have to stand on that number, you look into that light and you say your line in that light in this way. And so it's almost like being in the army, you're a soldier and just kind of told what to do. And I am a creative. I made a deodorant in the kitchen.
Yeah. But actually, joking aside, there's this great range that you now have, which is you can essentially, you have agency and you're masters of your own destiny.
Oh, yeah. And we say that about performers all the time. I know I'm veering off on a tangent here, but a lot of our staff come from a performance background.
I read that, but by design, because you like them.
Yeah.
I mean, you like what they deliver, their talent that they have.
The skill set that they have is very particular. A lot of people, when we say we were actors, they put up their two hands and they go, jazz hands. And it's quite annoying because we're more than that. We're actually really good problem solvers. We're very disciplined, especially if you've trained in dance. Like, that dance training is
militant.
Intense. Yeah, it's militant.
And actually, I was listening to something earlier today, and it said the line was, discipline is freedom, which I thought was actually quite a powerful thing, because the more you do something, the more mastery you have at it, and the more ability you then have to do great things with, hopefully, the financial gains that you get from doing that thing really well.
Yeah. I think a lot of people forget that it's not just about the talent. Yes, you have to be a good singer, but you've also got to be a very good person to be in the room with. You've got to be fun to be around. You've got to be a great problem solver. The director doesn't want to tell you exactly what you need to do at every single point, so you're always thinking ahead. What's my backstage choreography as well? Where's my costume going to be set? Where's my prop at that moment?
Well, actually, Andy, that's what I was going to ask both of you. Have you moved essentially from being given the lines and being given the direction to being the directors?
Oh, 100%.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And is that much more enjoyable?
Yes.
It is definitely for you. And is it the same for you, Andy?
Love it. I love so at the point when we'd made this formula, I was a photographer as well. So I was on the side of acting. That was my little sideline. So I said to Ed, let's brand it and turn it into a visual thing that we can start selling. And so I've always used my creativity to keep me happy when you're in Les Mis, standing on 11 and lifting your arm 45 degrees, having those other things that help you go, my creative juices are still flowing. I'm now fully fledged creative director of acts, visuals that you see, and I'm emptying my brain's vision into all of that stuff. So I'm exercising that still. So I do really enjoy that side of it.
So it sounds to me, and the answer is a yes or no one, unusually for me. Do you enjoy this more than performing on the stage?
Yes.
I miss performing. I don't miss the lifestyle. And that's, the lifestyle is 85% of being an actor, to be completely honest with you, because you're on stage for sometimes 20 minutes of the whole show.
Only because listening to an interview of Gary Lineker earlier this month, I was struck by the fact that he talked about the buzz of scoring the goal and whether he could ever replicate that in his life. And he kind of said no. But we'll come back to whether you've replicated the buzz or indeed surpassed it. Maybe Ed has, maybe Andy's still on the fence. Much more coming up from both of them in a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondorea. It's business, but it's personal.
You can enjoy all our former Business Shapers on the Jazz Shapers podcast, and you can hear this very program again if you pop Jazz Shapers into your favourite podcast platform. My guests today are Ed Curry and Andy Coxon, co-founders of ACT London, the natural deodorant brand. And Andy, you hinted, it's not just deodorant. Let's just quickly cover that off. What else are you in?
Not anymore. So last year we actually launched our body care range. So we're moving from just being a deodorant brand to being the personal performance company. So all of these products that we create help you perform better in your life, because everyone performs in some aspect. So what we're doing is giving you the confidence to step onto your stage, whatever that may be, and perform at your best. And we've moved into a body wash concentrate, so waterless body wash, because the number one ingredient in body wash is water. What's the point when you're in the shower? So it's like a gel that you activate with water, and it foams deliciously, and it is winning awards already, phenomenal. We have a body balm, which is like a body lotion, but it has an ingredient in it that is clinically proven to firm and tighten the skin. So we call it a dance class in a tube, because we used to do body conditioning as dancers. So we called it the body conditioning balm.
I need some of that.
Yeah. Get it.
Don't
on,
say
mate.
You do. Yeah.
It's very good.
And
nodding.
Yes, you do, Elliot. Yeah. You need quite a lot of it. We can give you a bath full of the stuff.
Bathe in it.
Drink it every night.
Yes.
Like Cleopatra. I'm just going to sit there and it's going to be like massive. Going to fill my bathroom up with it.
Soak it in.
So firstly, obviously, when people start to diversify a little bit, there's always the worry that the juice in the middle, the special sauce, the golden goose, whatever you want to call it, is diluted. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like you're doing it purely to expand this business beyond one specific. No. It sounds like actually you really believe in these other things that can also add to the, you know, to improve people's lives.
We made a pledge that we'll never release a product just for the sake of it. There was a point when we did a big piece of work on what the hell do we do next, because this has been such a happy accident. And we sat down and we were given the two options of, you either take the easy route where you get loads of easy formulas, put them in nice packaging, sell them as part of ACT and just go for the money goal, as it were. Or you take the hard route and find those innovative missing pieces in the industry that make ethically tailored products. And that was the route that we said, that's us.
Why?
Because
why didn't you want the easy life?
It felt very inauthentic, I think, for us.
Yeah.
Like the deodorant balm was made from a need. And so there wasn't that kind of thinking, well, let's just make loads of products because people will buy them all and it'll be very easy. Like, we wanted to find that need again. That was kind of the spark, the creativity and the drive.
And just thinking, you know, something you said, Ed, about people like, you know, do the jazz hands actor thing and that sense that there'll be a lack of substance or that you're just performative and all that. Do you find yourself constantly going, I want to prove people wrong on that? Or have you moved on from that and you're going, we're just going to run our business the way we want to run it? Do you know what I mean? Is there an insecurity in you that goes, come on, we're more than this?
I think at the beginning, I think that was a lot of the drive behind us, was to prove people that we could do it.
We could do more than what's expected. The people that come up to us now are kind of mind blown by what we've achieved, as are we ourselves personally. But for example, a couple of weeks ago, we were interviewing people on the green carpet at the Olivier's, which is something we would never have been doing.
Like Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston, Hayley Atwell, Samantha Barks, all these amazing stars that wear ACT and come up to us and go, guys, I love it. People stopping us talking, just going, it's amazing what you've created. Everyone is invested in the story. but also the product backs itself up. It's not, we have not just gone, there's a hole in the market, let's make something, brand it and put it out there. Mm. We've done it the complete opposite way of going, oh my God, I really need something to work. Oh, let's just play. Oh, we've made it. Great. Now let's make a brand. Now, oh, we have this story and everyone's gone, that story is unbelievable. Tell everyone. And we're going, okay. And we're just going with it and it's snowballing to this effect of people getting on board with us and wanting to know what's next. And I think if we turn around and said, here's a regular shower gel, should we say, they're going to go, okay, fine, but
yeah,
it's not going to do what the deodorant's done.
You have to have belief and confidence to do what you did professionally and to do what you do now. Where does that come from for each of you?
Oh my God, what a question.
What a question. There's been points during the journey of ACT where I've turned to Ed and said, how have we continued on? Because we've been hit with some absolute stumbling blocks. And I think that is almost inherent as an actor because you are constantly knocked back. You're constantly trying to make rent that month if you're not in a contract. And when a contract ends, you've got to find the next gig. And it's constantly problem solving, like you said. But that resilience that you learn as an actor stays with you. And I think we had some serious knockbacks with ACT as a journey. And I honestly couldn't tell you how or why we decided to continue. We just did because you're almost afraid of failure as an actor in a sense, because there's that point of you don't want to look like a failure to people. And we were both very successful as actors. So I honestly, there's no like equation to go,
but
this is working.
You know, and I think you must be right about the resilience point in what you do, but is that something that you had before you started acting and before you started performing, if you think about it? And if it's true that you were those kinds of people, why? Was there something about the way both of you, different people, were brought up or that you kind of saw around you where you went, you've just got to endure, you've just got to carry on?
Gosh. Going into the childhood.
But do you know what I mean? Was there any bit, were there things that you just, you know, you had role models around it, you just went, there's got to be food on the table? I mean, both my parents were self-employed and things were up and down quite a lot, actually. And it wasn't tough is a strong word. I'm, you know, horribly middle class, but kind of, you know, both, but neither parent went to university. It was like they were working, they were in retail.
Yeah.
It was hard.
I mean, for me, yes. My parents divorced when I was five, and I'm one of seven kids. And so you're not only fighting for attention and from each parent, but you're fighting for food if there's any snacks in. I was telling somebody yesterday. Oh, I was telling our investor yesterday how at the age of nine, like I was cooking for the whole family because nobody else was going to feed everybody that night. So you just had to kind of put your
get on with it.
Get on with it.
Now we see why.
Yeah.
Now we see why. Okay, good. That makes sense. Is there, for you, Andy, what's the...
I mean, my family have always been extremely supportive in a completely non-pushy way where they just sort of let me figure out what I wanted to do. And from that became an independence very early on. And I sort of became very mature very early where I was... basically, this is what I want to do and I'm going to do it. And they gave me that, I guess, support from a distance, should we say. So it allowed you to find your way. And if you stumbled, you had something to fall back on. So I guess I always had a comfort there so that it didn't scare me at that age until I moved to London and did the big thing of, I'm going, I got to drama school, I did it. I've got grants, I'm going to do this. And then... I've never relied on my parents. I've never relied on anybody. Mm. So that independence still goes now. Both me and Ed are very strong-minded people. And I think that, gosh, we're really unpacking here, aren't we? I think that's what's got us here. We're strong, independent people that have lived quite early on. We're very mature people.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, you do feel that you seem really old. Both of you.
Thanks.
I do feel haggard.
They look gorgeous. Can I say they look absolutely amazing, but the wisdom is there and the lived experience, as I say, is there as well. Final chat came up with my guest today, Zed Curry and Andy Cox, and we got some music from Coco Roco. That's in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondorea. It's business. but it's personal.
I have Andy Coxon and Ed Curry, my excellent founders today, the people behind the ACT brand, which I've got to try. There you go. An admission, I haven't tried it, but I'm going to. I know, don't huff. I can see your irritation.
I'm absolutely furious.
Furious. It's going to change your life.
So look, you've achieved amazing amounts. We've talked about both of you in your different ways being independent and strong. The success going forward, where's it going to come from? From a personal perspective and a business perspective, is it just more of the same?
Or is it some secret sauce?
Yeah, business perspective.
No, I mean, a lot has changed in the last few months. Obviously, we started and it was just the two of us and we had to do every single facet of the business. I had to learn what a spreadsheet was and do all the finances. And I did that for the first 4 years. We built the website ourselves. We learned how to do email marketing.
And now, by the way, are you cool with all of it? It's just stuff, isn't it?
Well,
would you prefer some bits?
We know enough to have handed it off to people to then.
Yeah, yeah. So now the company is about 25 people. I always get them wrong. Yeah. And so we've hired in those skills. You know, we've got a CFO who knows how to do accounting.
Bringing the experts.
Quite important.
Very important.
And so now it's only in the last maybe 6 months or so that we've been able to kind of fall into the roles that I think we were naturally supposed to be doing for the brand. I'm now officially chief product officer. I'm the product creator. You know, I was the one making it on the hob at the beginning. Andy is now chief brand officer because he made all the visuals and he still very much does all of that. But we've got a CEO. We've just hired a CMO. For anybody who's listening who doesn't know what a CEO is, chief executive officer.
Oh, you're so
chief
good.
Marketing officer.
Look at that.
Yeah, we're building a team that's really, really strong.
Because we're going global.
Yeah.
You are going global.
From a business dream perspective. So we launched in America just over a year ago. It's going extremely well over there. We did the same thing.
And everybody told us not to do it.
Where did you launch? East Coast or West?
East Broadway.
West. Broadway, of course.
And LA as well. We did both edges, the creative scenes.
Yeah.
But I don't think we mentioned this. In the UK, we launched by giving every single West End performer.
Yes, I mentioned. I was going to ask you, how did you get to them? I mean, it sounds a silly question. Did you just sort of...
They're friends.
Yeah. So just friends.
They contact
were friends.
The company manager or one person in every show and we just gave...
So you literally went along to rehearsals and said, here you go.
Yeah. Every stage door and said, at warm-up, can you hand them out? There was a leaflet with instructions that said our Kickstarter is going live tomorrow if you will post about it, because loads of them already knew what it was. And it just went boom.
Boom, yeah.
We did the same with Broadway and the makeup artists and creative scene in LA.
Very focused.
Yeah.
And you start with, I mean, it's proof of concept, which says if it works for them and you just live a normal life, it's probably going to work for you. I mean, it's sort of 101 brilliant strategy.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Don't go wide, go niche.
Go really niche. And then you've got a global niche suddenly.
And from that, Beyonce and Taylor Swift's dancers now wear it. You've got...
I read that.
Florence Pugh messaged us the other day saying she's obsessed. That kind of, it's gone to that level in America of it's got to the right hands of people. It's getting, we were on a New York TV channel yesterday. It's being shown.
It's happening.
And growing very quickly. So global domination is on the cards. We're launching the EU entity next month, I believe, and then Australia at the end of the year. So that sort of is the dreams for the business. But I think personally, for us, we're trying to get ourselves out there as the face of the brand still, doing things like this. Because this is the powerful bit. We're so humbled by what's happened. The chats that we're probably having now, we never really had when we were beginning this. So we want to empower performers that they can change career. We want to show people how you do it. We're not afraid to open the cracks and say, this is what went wrong, this is what we did, we tried that, this was a gamble. We want to empower people to continue performing, but might not necessarily be on stage. Open that confidence to change.
And you've both been incredibly open today, and I think that's part of the appeal as well, which is you don't have to put on a persona.
No, you
did that as performers, but actually this is about the two of you being on your stage going, yeah, this is us.
Yeah.
Thank
and
you very
really
much.
And it's really resonating with people. I mean, what other deodorant brand do you know that has two people like being the front and center of the brand? There's not really any. And that's what's really resonated with our customers. And that's, I think, why we're doing more of it.
Yeah.
Because it's a very unique story. It's very different. You know, we didn't have a business background at all. Most brands are made by people who've worked in business and they find a niche and they go, oh, there's a market for that. I'll create a product. And ours was the complete reverse. Mm. I think people like that and the fact that the product works. Yeah. So.
Well, I was going to say, the product has to work.
Yeah.
And you two have been fabulous to meet and chat to.
Thank you very much
for joining us. Just before I let you both disappear, what's your song choice and why have you chosen? I think one of you has chosen. Oh, yeah.
Well, I chose Birdland because when I was growing up, I played the saxophone, the alto sax, grade 8.
He's so proud.
I used to be part of a big band every Saturday. And this was like our hit that we used to play. So whenever we performed, it was the only one that we all got the correct notes to. Because we weren't very good.
Most rehearsed.
Yes.
So this is the St. Louis Big Band with Birdland.
Yeah.
Birdland from the St. Louis Big Band, the song choice of one of my business shapers there. It was Ed, to be clear. They talked about being accidental entrepreneurs. There was a problem to solve and they wanted to solve it. They talked about the importance of authenticity, how as they expand their range, they're doing it because they genuinely feel they can make a difference. Both Andy and Ed are independent thinkers, as they said, critical if you're going to be a successful entrepreneur. And finally, the performers, Ed and Andy, have moved from being in the production to directing the production. I really like that. That's it from Jazz Shapers. Have a lovely weekend.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondorea. It's business, but it's personal.
We hope you enjoy that edition of Jazz Shapers. You'll find hundreds more guests available for you to listen to in our archive. To find out more, just search Jazz Shapers in iTunes or your favourite podcast platform, or head over to mishcon.com/Jazz Shapers.
The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.